All the Republican candidates have campaigned on cutting the deficit. So would their tax proposals do that? Well, you've probably heard the headline already. According to a project of the Bipartisan Committee for a Responsible Budget, the federal debt would actually balloon under the plans of all but Ron Paul, who would cut the deficit but also cut entire wings of government. And what about President Obama's plans? Lots of talk about taxing income over $1 million and the so-called Buffett rule. But is it in writing? Our next guest, Howard Gluckman, says the competing thinking on taxes sets the stage for an epic battle. So let's get a primer. Howard Gluckman is resident fellow at the nonpartisan nonprofit Tax Policy Center, also editor of the blog Tax Vox. And Howard, in reading some of your analysis, we see why, for instance, Herman Cain's 999 plan was such a great bumper sticker. It was so simple.
No, absolutely.
But not as much with some of these candidates. So let's start with former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. His has several components, starting with permanently extending the Bush-era tax cuts. Take it from there.
Okay, sure. So actually, all of the Republican candidates would extend the Bush-era tax cuts. That's something that they all have in common. But that's where he'd start. He'd take those tax cuts that are supposed to end at the end of this year, and he'd continue them indefinitely, make them permanent. But then on top of that, he says what he would do is reduce all income tax rates by 20%. The other thing he would do is he would eliminate capital gains taxes, eliminate taxes on dividends and interest for people making less than $200,000. It sounds pretty good, but the truth is that most people making less than $200,000 don't have a lot of income on capital gains and dividends. But it sounds like a pretty good idea if you're trying to appeal to the Republican base. Yeah. Then on the business side, what he'd do is he would reduce the current top rate for corporations, which is now 35%, down to 25%. It's a very dramatic cut, but it's not nearly as dramatic as his Republican challengers would cut even more than that. And then he'd also do things like abolish the estate tax. This, again, is something that all Republican candidates have talked about doing. It benefits overwhelmingly very, very rich families.
Because this estate tax is a tax on inherited estates over $5 million or so.
That's right. That's exactly right. If you left today's law alone, 99% of people would never pay the estate tax.
Well, a couple things. You and others, I'm looking at Lori Montgomery writing in the Washington Post, say that Mitt Romney's plan would cut taxes for a lot of people, but favor the rich. And also, without, you know, any taxes raised and without any revenue stream that we can see in this plan, he would add to the deficit. Address those two criticisms.
You know, it's great when you're running for president or running for any other office to promise that you're going to cut people's taxes. It's great when you promise that you're going to reduce the deficit. When you cut taxes as much as these candidates are proposing to do, it makes it very difficult, probably even impossible, to reduce the deficit. If you look at everything that Mitt Romney is proposing to do, it would add almost $1 trillion, about $900 billion, to the budget deficit in just one year, in 2015. That's a massive cut in tax revenues. Most of that would go to the highest earning households.
Well, and one of the reasons that these households making more than $1 million would get such a break is that they also would be in position to receive the benefit of Mitt Romney's corporate tax reductions.
That's correct. This is a matter of a lot of controversy among economists, but basically that's right. What the Tax Policy Center assumes is that shareholders of companies benefit a lot from corporate tax cuts. You remember Mitt Romney famously saying that corporations are people too. Well, what he meant was that corporations are basically an organization of shareholders, so that when the corporate rate is cut, the people who benefit from that are the people who own the companies, and those are overwhelmingly wealthy people. So this is skewed very much towards what Republican candidates like to call the job creators.
Well, what about closing loopholes? What about, you know, taxing that carried interest that Romney now enjoys? This is money that is paid to equity firm people like Mitt Romney. It's paid from Bain Capital out of other investors' earnings. So even though it looks like a salary to Mitt Romney, he gets to declare it as income from investments, so it's taxed at a lower rate. I'm guessing there's no suggested changes in his plan.
What the Romney economic advisor said last week was that he would make this so that it did not lose revenue. He would find offsetting spending reductions and tax increases so that this would not add to the deficit. But he didn't say how he'd do it. That's the big question. And you talk about carried interest. You know, carried interest is one of these things that's a very high-profile issue. The Democrats will certainly make a big deal out of it. But the truth of the matter is it raises a trivial amount of money when you're talking about trying to make up for $900 billion in tax cuts. And realistically, you've got to start thinking about how you're going to cut tax breaks that benefit middle-income people, such as the mortgage interest deduction.
And is anyone proposing getting rid of some of those deductions for mortgage interest for child? Nobody.
Nope.
Let's move to Rick Santorum and maybe differentiate between his plan and Mitt Romney's. He also cuts taxes for corporations, but he also seems to cut more taxes for the less wealthy, especially families with children.
That's right. Think of Rick Santorum as Mitt Romney on steroids when it comes to taxes. Whatever Romney has proposed, Santorum has proposed to do even more. So what Santorum says is, let's just cut back to two tax brackets. There'd be a 28% tax bracket and a 10% tax bracket. He would lower the top rate for capital gains and dividends for everybody, not just for people making less than $200,000, but for everybody to 12%. Abolish the estate tax. He would reduce corporate income taxes, basically cut them in half from what they are today, except for manufacturing companies who would pay zero under Santorum's plan. And then the other thing he would do that the other candidates wouldn't do is he would make a group of tax credits that are currently available for low-income families with children. He paints himself as very much the pro-family candidate. So what he would do is he triple the tax credit for families, low-income families with children. Rick Santorum's tax plan is even more expensive than Mitt Romney's. It would add a little bit more than $1 trillion to the budget deficit. For middle-income families, people making between $50,000 and $75,000, they would do a little better under Santorum than under Romney.
And would increase the debt by about $4.5 trillion, according to some of the analysis. So what does Rick Santorum's people say about where he would make up for this revenue?
Well, they, again, don't say. They do say that it would happen on the spending side, not on the tax side. He's talked about changing the nature of Medicare. He would take most of the social welfare programs, Medicaid, food stamps, the whole collection of social safety net programs that we know that are currently run by the federal government. He turned those all over to the states. But even that doesn't get him even close to what he's talking about doing. So he's talked about having a $5 trillion spending cut, but again doesn't define where he'd get the $5 trillion. Cutting spending by $5 trillion over 5 years is a massive spending reduction. It would fundamentally change the nature of the federal government, what it does. But again, he has not described quite how he'd do it.
Howard Gluckman, resident fellow at the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. When we come back, Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich, and Barack Obama. Our tax primer continues. Are you taking notes here and now? Welcome back to our primer on the presidential candidate's tax proposals with Howard Gluckman of the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. And Howard, most of the Republicans talk about tax cuts, but no specific cuts in spending, except for Ron Paul. He's talked about cutting the military budget, eliminating five agencies, including the EPA and the Fed. But what about taxes?
Okay, so Ron Paul, we have not really been able to calculate what Ron Paul wants to do because it's so sweeping, but it's also so vague. Ron Paul has basically said he wants to repeal the income tax. He would get rid of the payroll tax that funds Social Security and Medicare, and he'd replace it with something, but he doesn't really explain what it would be. So in that kind of environment, we really can't calculate what Ron Paul would do. But he would basically keep the current deficit track on track, wouldn't change it very much at all when you net out these giant tax cuts with what would be just massive cuts in spending.
Well, and briefly touch on Newt Gingrich. He makes all capital gains, dividends, interest income tax-free, also proposes eliminating all deductions and credits except for the earned income credit, child credit, foreign tax credits, and deductions for mortgage interest and charitable gifts.
So what Newt Gingrich does is something very interesting. It's kind of strange when you think about it, but it's very interesting. What he says is, I am going to give you a choice. You can either pay taxes under the current system, or you can pay taxes under my new system, which would basically be a flat tax of 15%. As you say, he would keep deductions for charitable contributions and mortgage interest deduction. And then there would be, under this flat tax, a big personal deduction of $12,000 per person. And that's because when you have a consumption-like tax, which is really what Gingrich is proposing, is something like a value-added tax, it tends to be very unfair for low-income people. So to make it a little more
like
fair,
a sales tax, and they tend to buy more things.
That's right. They spend more of their income on consumption. They don't save very much.
Right.
So doing all that would add, in 2015, $1.3 trillion to the budget deficit. Now, the thing to remember about this is, you know, normally when the Tax Policy Center does budget analysis of tax plans, it talks about numbers like, you know, $500, $600 billion or even $1 trillion over 10 years. We think about that as big tax cuts. What these guys are doing is they're proposing tax cuts that are approaching or exceeding $1 trillion in 1 year. Now, the federal government collects only about $3 trillion. So you're talking about a massive cut in federal revenues.
So those are the Republican candidates campaigning largely on, you know, the oversized deficit. But as you and others are pointing out, their tax plans would raise it even more. What about President Obama? I mean, much had been said about how he wanted to, you know, the Buffett rule, how he wanted to make people of a certain income make sure that they paid a certain percentage, you know, tax people making over $1 million, a higher rate. What does it boil down to in the actual plan?
So there is no plan. This is the interesting. President Obama, another politician, you know, running for office, is also being very vague on these very controversial issues. So the president has been talking a lot about the Buffett rule, talking a lot about how we're going to make sure that millionaires don't pay less tax than their secretaries. But when it came down to it, when the president put out his budget the other day, there's no proposal. So we don't know exactly what it is he would do to make sure that the highest income people pay more tax. We do know that the president has said that he would extend all of the Bush tax cuts except for those for the highest income earners. Basically, he would extend 90% of the Bush tax cuts. He'd also extend, as we've all heard, the payroll tax for another year. So, you know, on the individual side, the president is also talking about relatively generous tax breaks without really talking about where he'd get the money to offset them.
But he also would lower the rates on corporate taxes. He has been a little clearer on the business side. And I just want to ask you about that, Howard, because it sounds as if everyone is agreed in lowering some of the corporate rates. Is that because corporations don't pay them at the higher rate of 35%?
So this is the problem. The statutory rate for companies headquartered in the United States is a maximum rate of 35%. That's one of the highest in the world. But American companies also get to take advantage of all kinds of special tax benefits. And those special deals drive down the actual tax rate those companies pay, cut it probably in half. So what President Obama is proposing to do is to reduce the statutory rate from 35% to 28% and get rid of loopholes to help pay for that. But again, he doesn't really tell us which of these special corporate tax breaks he would get rid of. So he's, again, leaving it to your imagination without getting very specific.
And just generally, when it comes to individuals, I mean, it's pretty clear that the Republicans want to lower taxes. Some will be lowering them more on the wealthy than on all Americans. You pointed out Mitt Romney. And the thinking going into this election was that the Democrats wanted to increase taxes on the rich. If, in fact, that ever comes to fruition in a Democratic plan, how much will that do to cut the deficit?
Well, not very much. The problem is that there are not enough rich people in this country to pay those higher taxes to get the deficit down very much. The reality is, President Obama doesn't want to talk about this, but the reality is that if you're really going to tackle a deficit, you've got to do something on the spending side, and you've got to do something on the tax side. And what you do on the tax side is probably going to require raising taxes, not just for the rich people, but for middle-class people and upper-middle-class people. And it's probably going to mean doing something about the mortgage interest deduction and doing something about the special tax breaks for getting employer-sponsored health insurance and doing something about all of these special tax breaks that we've come to think of as our birthright in the United States.
But none of this will be part of the discussion until after the election.
I'm afraid you're right. There is, in Maryland, a cat running for the United States Senate. His name is Hank the Cat, and Hank is running on a platform of more milk in everybody's food bowl.
And are you serious?
I'm serious. I think Hank is serious, too. That's kind of the metaphor here. That's how all these presidential candidates are running. They're also running, you know, on a platform of more milk in the food bowl, but they don't want to say how they're going to pay for it.
That's Howard Gluckman, resident fellow at the nonpartisan nonprofit Tax Policy Center, also editor of the blog Tax Box, with our primer on the tax plans of the presidential candidates. Howard, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
So that was a lot of numbers. So we'll post Howard's writing at hereandnow.org. And meanwhile, while there, what do you think? Do you believe that cutting taxes will boost job creation? Are you disappointed that President Obama isn't standing behind some of his tax increase proposals, at least not yet? Would you vote for a cat? Hereandnow.org. Love to hear from you. Latest news is next. Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, and by the Harvard Art Museums, from Chinese jades to Jasper Johns, Byzantium to Bernini. Learn more at harvardartmuseums.org. And by the Institute of Contemporary Art Boston, with Isaac Julian's 10,000 Waves, a 9-screen video installation featuring Maggie Chung, icaboston.org.